You are listening to the Myth TV Cast. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Myth TV Cast. My name is Pat Davila. With me is my co-host, Dan Fry.
How's it going, Pat?
It's going, man. We're back sooner than later this time.
Last time I
gave my perspective of how my experience was with the HD Home Run Prime, and today, Dan, you're going to give us your experience.
Yes, I am loving it. I really am. I think it's a great device to have, and anybody considering this in a market that will accept cable cards should consider getting one of these. And hey, that's a great show. We'll see you next time. No, I'm kidding. The thing has been I want to say almost completely rock solid. I have had a couple issues that I'll go into, and but I just want to I do want to say that this the HD Home Run Prime is a great device to have, especially for a Myth TV setup. I have tried it out, and I believe you were saying the same thing, Pat, you know, recording, you know, multiple things at the same time and over multiple hours and whatnot, and, you know, really putting it through its paces. And I have not one time had it, you know, miss a recording or, you know, any type of issue, even with the recordings, anything like that. So it's really a testament, I think, to you know, the product that they put out and to Myth TV itself for the support that they provide for the product.
So how was your activation experience? Mine was way better than I had expected it.
I had one slight hiccup with it. I called the number, and the instructions that were on the paper were not as exact as what they said they would be. So when I read the paper, it said to call the number, you know, you'll go through their prompts, do this type of stuff, whatever. You may talk to somebody, and not so many words. For me, it just took me right into like their main audio prompts, and I had to actually talk to somebody right off the bat to get it to go.
That was my experience, and too. It was supposed to be automated.
Okay,
It gave the impression that it was going to be automated, and it was not automated. When I called that number, I called the first number to, like, reset all my devices, that was automated. And then the second time, the second number that I called, it just dumped me into the main queue. And, you know, you had to explain to somebody what you were doing.
Exactly. Well, the first person that I got to, I kind of went the same route that you did. Say, no, just it's not a TiVo, blah, 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 this and that. I said, no, this is a Silicon Dust HD Home Run Prime. It adheres to the cable card standard. I picked up the cable card. I stuck it in. Now I just need you to go ahead and activate it for me. And she goes, okay, bloop, bloop, bloop. She did it, and it was done. And hung up the phone with me, and that was it. And
now, did you check the
that was not it.
Did you check the channels while you're still on the phone with her?
I started checking, like, the network channels, and I was able to get them in, and I had no issue with them, and she just said, okay, great, and hung up and was gone. Now, when I tried to tune in something that was, you know, something that would have needed to have been decoded, I was getting nothing. So I'm like, oh, this is kind of odd. But it was also getting really late that night, and I said, well, I'll have to come back to this tomorrow. Once I got home, I called them up again, and I had them to send that hard reset signal through to everything. That didn't solve the problem. So I called yet again and had talked to somebody else, and he said, oh, we forgot to turn a flag on here for you. So I'm like, okay, great. So that's me. That's me, you know, every time that I have to deal with RCN, that's me and the trouble that I get with them.
You see, when I talked to them, the lady that I had maybe check all the channels, she goes, take your time, go through the channels, see if there's anything missing. Let me know. She was very, very thorough.
Nope, she wanted
that.
To get off the phone. I wish I would have had her name, because this one wanted me to get off the phone.
You caught her at the end of her shift, basically.
It must have been. But you know, once I talked to the second guy, he found that they forgot to activate something, Even though when I went into the web interface on the Prime itself, it said that it was, I forget what it was. It was
locked,
either connected or locked or something like that. There was something else that they had to do on their end. I couldn't tell you what it was that they had to do. He said he just needed to update something, and immediately I was able to go in and tune in any channel that I had.
Well, at least they tracked it down in a reasonable amount of time. You go into Silicon Valley's forums, and you hear these horror stories, especially with Comcast. Where they're like, people are like, for days, back and forth.
Even to get it, when I was talking with John Babb about it from the Mythbuntu team, and he was having issues just getting the card itself from Comcast. So once it took him a while just to even track down a cable card itself from them, it seemed. And then he too had, I think, issues with the activation as well.
So once you got it all working, how was your Myth setup in Myth TV, the actual setup?
The setup itself was very, very easy. You could go down one of two routes, and you could go and search for the unit itself puts out an ID onto the network. You do give it an IP address, whatnot. You could try and set it up with that, but you would, at least in the current state of Myth TV right now, you'd have to go in and tinker with the database a little bit. You could get around that by actually putting in the IP address itself. Now, for me, so that I could get the thing to have an IP address every single time, I went into my router and put a reservation in for a DHCP reservation in for the unit itself. So I just found its MAC address. And every router has that capability, at least within the last few years has that capability. You put in a reservation for it, it's always going to pull the same address. So I'm very confident that I'm always going to get the same IP address every single time. When I went into the actual devices themselves, one of the options when you find the HD Home Run tuner type inside of the tuner setup portion of it, you can then just specify, either say, look, you know, find the IDs on the network or manually specify the IP address. So I had to do this three times. So I manually specified the IP address and then tuner 0 for the first one, 1 for the second one, and 2 for the third one, all using the same IP address. The wiki itself, and I put a link to the wiki article about setting up the HD Home Run Prime on the website, so go check that out. It's a quick place to get over to that. But they do have you walk down the process now of setting up a dummy recorder, getting the channel lineups the first time through, and then deleting the dummy recorder, and then applying that to the tuners after the fact. So this is just so that it can have something when it tries to it has channel information when you try to do the initial setup, because if you don't have that setup, it's going to lock up on. And I believe you went through this whole same process
it
as well, right?
Like
you went with the IP address.
Yeah, I went with the IP address because I didn't feel like going in, you know, with MySQL statements and manually doing that. I just said, screw it, you know, what's the big deal? And like you, you know, you could set your router to automatically give that device that IP address every time.
Yep. I've actually switched that over to everything inside of my house now. So everything is DHCP, all the phones, the printers, the different computers. You know, I mean, there's so many things now that I have. I look at my DHCP reservation list, and there's got to be some 30 things on that. Because I do have the Google TV and Xbox 360, a Wii. I mean, everything in there. There's a TiVo upstairs that my wife still uses. You know, I mean, everything now has IP addresses in my house, and that list has getting quite, you know, pretty large.
Yeah, lots of devices. So it sounds like your experience pretty much mirrored my experience for the most part, minus a little bump.
I did run into a few issues a couple of days after the fact, and actually even one today I ran into it as well. I had posted out on Google Plus a while back about, I started noticing some errors in the logs, and these seem to be pretty regular. So if you look into your Myth TV backend log, you will see that there. Actually, I'll bring it up here real quick. Things that I'm finding are, anytime a recording seems to start, there is something about like an update filter or something. I really don't know what they're for, but I noticed that they occur and they actually get logged with an error statement themselves. So, I was kind of surprised to see that because my recordings were fine, my live TV was fine, no issues with the audio syncing with the video or anything like that. So I wasn't quite sure why I was seeing these things. But periodically, I seem to be running into a case where the master backend cannot talk to the unit itself, even though both of them are on. You know, I can ping it. I can, you know, bring up the HD Home Run GUI. I can do from the command line the HD Home Run, you know, command line interface from a machine, from the same machine where it's recording from, and everything. And what I'm finding is, this says in the logs, that I get an invalid virtual channel. Now, for me, you know, like the ABC channel is 1006. And I know that that's not an invalid virtual channel. If I bring up the web interface for the HD Home Run Prime, I can go through the channel listing that is in there and see that it is listed in there as a valid channel. So I was kind of surprised. I was kind of surprised that I was seeing this. I updated the firmware and I hadn't been noticing it. So it might have just been an issue with how old the firmware was that my device had. So I'll keep an eye on it and report back if I find that this is happening more and more for some reason. But It's only after a few weeks of, you know, I guess it's like continual use or whatever. Not continual, but it, you know, repeated use. No recycles or anything like that. I'm not aware of any like power outages or anything like that. But it is on like a backups unit, so it's plugged into one of the battery portions of that. So it should have at least, you know, held it if it does, you know, dip for a minute or so.
Interesting. I'm looking at my logs right now, and the only thing I notice in there that is for channels that are like in the clear QAM, it has the access as unknown. You know, I can view those channels and I can record them with no problem. It just has like the other ones that are encrypted have access equals subscribed. But the clear QAM ones have access equals unknown. That's the only thing out of the ordinary in my logs. And that's not a big deal because I can...
Is it actually reporting as an error statement or is it just like a warning statement or...
I don't even think it's a warning. There's nothing indicating that it's a problem.
Right. Now, I'll do a little bit more digging into that. So I'm not entirely sure what was causing those. I've been Googling around for the actual error messages themselves, and I've been finding people who have had them, but I mean I haven't had any real issues with it. You know what I mean? I mean, today the issue, you know, I just did a recycle on the I tried recycling the unit and it didn't do it. And I then recycled my Myth TV and then it did it. It, you know, it came back up fine. So I don't know, it might have been an issue with my network or what, but, you know, it just for some reason could not talk to the box. And actually, it seemed like it was talking to it, but it sounded like it was getting an invalid channel, so I'm not sure. Let me ask you this. When you set up the channel frequency, did you set it up to be just the default, or did you set it up to be U.S. cable?
I think I set up as the default, actually.
Okay. I did try changing that today, just the U.S. cable, because that's what you select when you're in the HD Home Run GUI as well, just to launch it in VLC. So I don't know, maybe that might resolve the problem that I have, and maybe your default is set to something different than my default. So I know in the Myth TV backend setup, you can go ahead and, I believe, specify a default for that, and I don't know if that I've ever changed it. So I assumed it would just go to U.S. cable. Maybe it was set up for U.S. broadcast, not sure. But I will take a look at that later on as well. When I set up my schedule in Schedules Direct for this particular one, I decided to go with the RCN one-way cable. Okay, because that to me is specifically for the cable cards. I wanted to just, you know, do that one. It gets rid of things like the on-demand and all that kind of stuff.
So you did the same thing I did.
Anyway, yeah. Well, what I found was that the one-way channel listing was missing channels compared to the two-way listing. Okay, so I went through and I grabbed the channel listing that's on the HD Home Run Prime web interface, and I took a snapshot of that and I sent that off to the Schedules Direct developers, and they got back to me saying, "Oh yeah, we see that there's some missing ones here. We'll go ahead and we'll update all of the." All the channels, and then check it out in a few days. You'll have to just do a grab for everything in whatever database. For me, it's Myth TV. Yeah, you'd have to go through and do if you look at the last item in the wiki is like a DD grab all or something like that.
That cleans everything out.
Right. Well, it didn't clean everything out. And I believe, I can't say for certain, but I almost want to say that it has something to do with, you know, initially setting this up with the dummy tuner. I've tried every combination of the Mythfill database that I can think of to get it to populate these new channels, and unfortunately, none of them work. There's a you can specify the source ID, so I was always using this, and for me, it was source ID number 3. So I was always specifying that, and then I was trying to do the do channel updates or do only channel updates. I think there's one to exclude any channel filtering so that it'll look at it, instead of it looking at what you already have and trying to make a comparison, it just says, give me whatever's new out there and bring that in. Nothing was doing that. And I was talking with some of the guys on the IRC today, on the MythTV users IRC channel, and they kind of confirmed it when they said the only thing really to do is kind of to go back through that process where you set up the dummy recorder, set up the channel listing again, and just make a new listing entry, add it to the dummy recorder and fetch the channels. It's going to go about and refetch everything fresh. And then I just went back through, deleted the dummy channel or the dummy tuner, reset the new schedules direct listing to the 3 prime tuners that are in there, and deleted the old one out. So that was something that I wasn't expecting to happen. But if they do mention it in the wiki it only says if you're running MythTV from a Mac, you know, OS 10, and you're trying to do a Mythfill database, and you need to add some special command line options in there, but that didn't seem to work for me. I had to actually go and redo the whole thing as well. So not more or less in a minor inconvenience, you know, than just being able to run Mythfill database like I thought that it would do it, but that's what I found with that. So if you do see that you have new channels coming in, Pat, you're going to have to go ahead and run through this same process again. It doesn't take very long. It took all of, you know, 2 minutes to set everything up, and then another 10 or so to do the listing. Maybe not even 10 minutes, but
what channels were there? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, like Comedy Central HD wasn't in the one-way listing, and now it should be. There were a couple right around, like that's channel 1173.
Let me look it up, hold on.
And there was a couple, yeah, go ahead. There were a couple other ones like right around, there was like 1168 maybe, 1177. There were a couple of them right in there that were missing from the other lineup. And so that's what nice thing about the Prime interface, the web interface, is it allows you to go in and see every channel that it knows that you have right inside of there. At some point, I don't know if they'll be able to, instead of getting the channel listings from Schedules Direct, you know, they'll be able to take the channel listings from the actual Prime itself and then allow it to just query, you know, Schedules Direct for different channels that you have, so that you can get the listing date. I don't know if that something like that will ever kind of.
You're right. I'm looking in my MythTV channel setup here, and
I'm down all that information
listing,
right over the
listing
wire.
Listing 3, you know, the mm-hmm. listing 1 is the one that my PVR 1212 is, the original one, and listing
yep.
source
yep.
3 is the new one. And you're right. I don't see Comedy Channel listed in source 3.
Right. Now, if you go look at the same sources out in Schedules Direct now, you should be able to go and see that that channel does now exist, and that's because I had them add that channel into there, as well as any other ones that happen to be there.
So that was it was a Schedules Direct problem.
Yeah, it was a Schedules Direct problem. But to get that channel to populate then was a MythTV problem, and I had to go back and redo the whole setup again for the, you know, the dummy recorder and the listing, you know, fetching the channels and then adding it to the Prime tuners.
Let me see if I can do that TV grab all one. See if that does it for me.
I tried it a number of times and nothing seemed to. I never found that it repopulated the channel. I was looking at the settings tab in MythWeb and looking at the channel info itself, and I only ever saw it for my Hotbog 1212 instead and not for the HD Home Run Prime.
Yeah, I see it in I see it now. Yeah.
It did. It updated yours.
Well, I see it in Schedules Direct, but.
Oh yeah. It's in Schedules Direct, but once you do the DD grab all, it's not going. I'm guessing it's not going to populate in there. And according to the guys in IRC today as well, they said that that's pretty much how you have to do it to get the new channels to go in there. So I should I think what I'll do is when I get a chance, I'll go out and update the wiki page that's out there to say, you know, if you do need to add new channels, you know, repeat all the steps. All
right, good to know. Well, if you go to the Silicon Dust forums, go take a look to see how people's experiences in NetTV compare to their experiences with Windows Media Server Edition. Windows right. Media Edition. Slight.
Yeah, completely different than what we're reporting.
Yeah, they're having a few more problems. Well, I'm glad to know that it's working pretty well for you. And,
so far though, it's been great. Like tonight now, it's going to be recording a bunch of things all simultaneously across all four of those tuners. I like to keep testing this out every, you know, whenever I can, and tonight's a good night to do that. Got the baseball game coming on. There's this supposedly this awesome documentary coming on by Ken Burns on PBS about Prohibition, and it's like a three-night thing. Give that a shot if you get a chance, because I hear it's really, really awesome. I'm recording that right now.
You also
actually
got Breaking Bad at 10 o'clock, and there's this new series on Showtime called Homeland. Supposedly it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah? See, I got Boardwalk Empire coming down tonight.
Yeah, I just shut off the HBO, so that's no-go for me.
Oh, okay. That's a great show, too.
I didn't care for it.
Oh, no? Oh, I liked it.
I don't know.
That's why I'm into like this Prohibition thing.
I don't know. I thought it was just the Sopranos and Prohibition era. You know, people running around shooting each other in the face, you know?
Yeah. But they...
been there, done that.
I did just finish reading a Game of Thrones, you know, the book one in that whole series.
Yeah,
so
I'll turn the HBO on when that comes back.
Yeah, I'm catching up on the episodes because I got HBO Go. It's available now for RCN customers, so you can put it on your phone or your tablet and watch all those whenever you want to.
It was in beta, though. When I tried logging in, it said that I had to be part of the beta testing list.
I just signed in with my website. User ID and password, and it let me get into it. So I got it on the tablet, on the phone, on the Google TV, everything. It's working good. Quality's a little you know, I get some weird tearing issues, even on the tablet and everything like that. But otherwise, it works out fine.
Yeah, Fringe just came back, so that's another one.
Yeah, oh yeah. Lots of good stuff coming out.
Did you watch that Terra Nova pilot?
I did. I'm going to give it a couple episodes. Yeah. I thought it was okay.
It takes a few episodes for a show to get going. You know?
And unfortunately, nowadays, you're lucky if you get two episodes out of it.
Especially
if
you're on Fox, so.
Yeah, right.
Fox is the worst, man. They'll pull the rug out from after two episodes. So.
Right.
They're not pulling down good ratings, man. Watch out. You'll have to download the rest of the episodes on BitTorrent.
Oh, yeah.
After it airs in Canada.
That's
what happened with that show, Defying Gravity. Did you ever watch that show, Defying Gravity?
I don't think I ever saw it. It was supposed to be
like a near future, like, I don't know, like 75 years in the future or whatever. And they send their ship out to go explore the solar system. And the show got canceled. It was on ABC. And it was a co-production between, I think, ABC and one of the Canadian channels. So there was a mix of like American and Canadian actors on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it got canceled on ABC like after 10 episodes. So they never showed the last two episodes in the U.S., so I had to pull down the last couple episodes of a BitTorrent.
And you should be able to do that whenever you like.
It's ridiculous that they did that, you know? It was a good show.
Well, what somebody needs to do is put together an actual broadcasting company, you know, or a channel that all it does is put out these things that they cancel right away. You know, somebody may have interest in them, and they may just be sitting in somebody's warehouse collecting dust, you know? So they should just find a channel. We got plenty of them. Put all these ones that have, you know, the canceled TV channel, put all these shows that have been canceled that still have episodes to air on there, and then allow them to, you know, just replay for an amount of time and then take them off, you know, so that people can see what, you know, how something was supposed to end.
Yeah, pretty annoying.
Or just make them available for download anyway. I mean, you're not going to be airing it anymore, and you're probably not going to be selling the DVD of it if it only ran for two episodes anyway. So,
yeah, it's really disappointing when they do that nonsense.
Yep. I was really into Dollhouse when that was on. I thought that was a neat concept and whatnot. You know, something happened. There was something, some type of world event or whatever that happened right when they were trying to end the series. And it shouldn't have ended. It was a really good show, I thought. And they kind of like mashed like the two or three final episodes into one-hour episode. So they're jumping, you know, somehow jumped from like, you know, today to like 10 years from now. And like, you're like, what the hell just happened? So, you know, and I don't think it ended very well, but I believe you can go back on something like Netflix and see the, you know, see the full episodes ending of it, the way you were supposed to, you know, see it, how it was supposed to be run.
That was a Joss Whedon show. And that guy has had like, he's had it out with all those network people.
Oh yeah.
So yep. I think he burned a bridge too far, and they kind of wanted to stick it to him, I think. But that's a good idea. I'm going to go back and watch those episodes that were completely, lobotomized at the end.
Yeah, it's really like the last. You probably can get away with like the last three episodes, I think it was, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, that was a shame that show got canceled. Well, that's good to hear, man. I don't have anything else, so if you want to end it early.
I learned something new today, so I just want to go over.
Go ahead, man. Take your time.
Open up your web interface for your HD Home One Prime.
Uh-huh.
And click on the status menu.
Right.
It should be the very first link. And then you should see, you know, summary system, cable card, tuner one. Do you have anything that's recording anything right now?
Nothing right now.
Okay, can you fire one up real quick? I just want to show you one thing.
Okay, hold on a sec. Okay, I'm recording something now.
Okay, so now which tuner is the one that it's on?
Tuner Zero.
Tuner Zero. Okay, click on the Tuner Zero link right there, and you should see Tuner Zero status there. It tells you the virtual channel, the frequency, program number,
right. There's like a signal strength. Right, right. Well, that's signal strength.
Now, On this tab, you see your CCI protection, right?
Right.
And for me, right now, I'm looking at something that's on Fox. It's actually recording something on Fox. And I have a CCI protection of none. But then below that, I have a CGMS protection. And it says unrestricted.
Right.
Now, have you heard of this before? CGMS protection?
No, what is that?
It is another type of a broadcast flag.
Another layer of broadcast flag?
Yes, but this is actually coming from the broadcaster itself, not the cable company.
You mean the network?
Okay. Yeah, the network. So for instance, the one that was brought up to me today in IRC was CBS and CW. They're like sister stations in most markets. I don't know where they would not be sister stations, but because sometimes you'll see like the local news on CBS also showing on, you know, CW. Okay, well, if they decide to turn this thing on, our HD Home Run Primes will not show it. They will not show those channels. Now, luckily, we're in an area, we're in a market, you know, we're both in the same market, we're in a market that will that does not appear to have this. I mean, any of the channels that I've checked, it doesn't appear to have any type of... It always says for me unrestricted on... Either unrestricted or none, okay? So it's just something to look out for. You may find that your... Not necessarily your cable company, but the actual network themselves may be introducing a flag into the stream, and only the cable company, the only thing they can do is just pass it along. And, you know, you may find that, you know, at some point a channel, something like a CBS and a CW may not work.
Oh, great.
So it's another type of a broadcast flag. I just wanted to make everybody aware of it. I tried looking up a Wikipedia page for it. All I got was the analog version. So there might be another, you know, page out there, you know, talking about this, but I couldn't find anything specific about it. But this is something that was brought up in IRC today, and I was like, I better pass this along to everybody just so they're aware of it, just, you know, so they know that something else may potentially hinder us at some point.
So say one of these networks shows like a miniseries that's like a big deal, and they decide to put this flag out and screw everybody over. That's a possibility.
Yep. Yeah. Unfortunately, though, I think it would affect the whole channel, not just like that miniseries. Now, I don't know if it changes from, you know, from... episode to episode of something, you know, like going from like 8 to 9 o'clock, and it may be on the 8 o'clock, but not on the 9 o'clock, that type of thing. But I kind of am thinking it would be across the whole channel, but I could be wrong about that since I don't know a whole heck of a lot about it yet at this point.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Well, what a downer to end the show on.
I don't mean to bring everybody down on that, you know, but just wanted to make everybody aware of it.
Well, thanks for the
info. I'll end it a little happier there. I was on the Linux Basics podcast. It's LINUXBASIX. Check them out. They do like a weekly lug meeting online.
Who's that? Steve McLaughlin?
Yeah, it's a door-to-door geek and a bunch of other guys. They basically hold a virtual lug meeting like every Friday night. It's like usually starts about 10 o'clock or so, and it'll run about an hour and a half. They use a Mumble server that is open to everybody. Anybody's free to join, so go ahead and take a look at that. He contacted me just the other day saying that, you know, him and a couple of the other guys on the show are looking at potentially doing a myth setup again. And he used to have one in his house, and then he a few years ago got, you know, I don't know if he moved or I forget what he was saying, but he had to do something to that he had, or no, I think his machine died and he just never, you know, got to put it back together. So he said that him and a couple of the other guys on the show are looking at potentially doing some. So if they do, I told him we'd have them come on and let us know what their experiences are with it. So that'll be good to hear what some other people are doing with it. So
yeah, why not? I'm always willing to hear what people, you know, see and what their experiences are and what happens. So that should be good.
Yep, I agree.
So was that episode released or when's it coming out?
I have to check and see. I mean, it does run live every Friday night, so I imagine it was probably put out, you know, the day or two after that. So I'll have to check and see when that was. Actually, I'll bring it up here. Oh, you know, it looks like he changed. Oh wait, there we go. September.
What episode number was it? You know.
Hold on, I'm looking to see when was I on it. It was not last. It was the 16th. I was on it.
About 2 weeks ago.
That, it looks like it was number 72. That looks to be the last one that was out there.
Well, I'll check it out, man.
Yeah, because they
were listen.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, they talk about a lot of other things besides, you know, Myth TV stuff. I actually had to drop off at one point because my audio, I couldn't understand anybody at about an hour or so into. I don't know if that's an issue with Mumble or not, but it seemed to be only affecting me according to everybody else in their IRC channel. So I couldn't hear anybody anymore. But I got through all of the Myth TV stuff, and you know they had a lot of good questions about you know tuners and you know setting all that stuff up. So give that a check out, you know, check that out, and give us, you know, any feedback, you know, send it over our way. Be sure to keep checking out the site. We're posting stuff out there as we can, and if you're looking for a new box, we put out specs in the store. You know, don't feel you have to buy the one from the store, but it's a jumping off point. So if you're looking to build a machine or build a front end, you know, we've got some ideas for front ends out there as well. So go check it out.
Cool. Excellent. Well, it was a short episode. We thank everybody for giving us a listen. Hopefully we'll be back soon enough. You know, all this stability is kind of boring and doesn't lend itself to doing new episodes. So maybe we can create some problems and report back on.
Well, the next version should be out, I'd say, within a week after Ubuntu 11.10 releases. So, I mean, for us, we'll most likely be upgrading, you know, at that point. You know, I have to look and see what's coming down new in Mythbuntu and see if it's going to warrant me upgrading or not.
I think the biggest thing is they're changing the actual default desktop from XFCE to one of the lighter ones, I think.
Really? XFCE is pretty light to begin with. What are they going with? OpenBox or Fluxbox?
I don't think so. I think another one.
Okay.
I was looking at it's in beta right now, and it's coming out like next week, right? The 10th, I think.
Is it the 10th of October?
Yeah, it's coming.
I guess that would be 11.10, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
They're probably going right with that.
But the 11 represents the year.
Yeah, I know. But the I always thought they were at the end of the month.
No, they do it whenever they want.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that's going to be out like in a week and a half. So.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing what's changed.
I'm sure we'll talk about upgrading and whatnot. Alrighty then. So, Dan, thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you guys real soon. Take care.
Hey, we'll see you. Cool. Yeah, I've been really digging this thing, man.